This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. Good afternoon. This is Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Yuvraj.
And of course, it is Friday. We're with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with the show, get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or, of course, on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're still asking some questions that we started yesterday. If you are a Uber or Grab driver, do get in touch. We're keen to find out the kind of lay of the land, as it is, so to speak. If you want to get in touch, again, 018-789-8899. If you're a former driver or a current driver, let us know, get in touch, and we'll get back to you a little bit later on today. Now, it is Fun Friday, so we have some interesting stories, not necessarily all hardcore stories, as it were.
Yep.
We're going to be starting off with how some clocks in Europe are now running 6 minutes slow.
Mm.
So you can be late for work and actually get away with it. Then we have Amazon, how they're promising a fix for this creepy Alexa laugh.
Yeah.
Do you have a clip of that, by the way?
We'll play
something from that, in fact. And then how California are introducing the right to repair bill regarding a particular brand, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't fall far from that tree, did they?
No.
All right, we'll just go with that. And then wrapping up with the Dutch company, PALV, unveils their latest flying car, Gyrocopter. Ooh. And then some podcast recommendations all coming up. Right, let's get on with clocks in Europe are now running 6 minutes slow because of a power grid dispute.
How does this happen?
This is what fascinated me when I first read this a couple of days ago, in fact. So... citizens across Europe have been noticing that clocks in certain devices, like the LED-style alarm clocks, stoves, microwaves, all of that kind of stuff, had been gradually losing time over the last couple of weeks, right? Mm. Why? Because those devices keep time based on the frequency of the European electrical grid, which is normally running at 50 hertz. But in the past few weeks, the frequency of that grid has dropped slightly, and it's now down to 49.996 hertz. So all those clocks have gradually run more and more slowly. And, you know, people have started to notice. So there's this guy called Alan Howe who tweeted, "Aha! I thought I was going nuts that our cucker had actually slowed down in time." And so the question is, why has the grid's frequency dropped, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this problem affects a couple of dozen countries from Spain to Turkey and originates from a political disagreement between Kosovo and Serbia. Reuters reports that Kosovo was using more power than it generated, and Serbia, responsible for righting an imbalance, failed to do so, resulting in this deviation. So tensions have been rising between these two for some time. Kosovo broke away from Serbia in 2008 after the war of the 1990s, but Belgrade still does not recognize Kosovo's independence. Reuters reports that while Serbia and Kosovo agreed to jointly operate a power grid in 2015, disagreements over distribution have stalled implementations of the deal. So a spokeswoman said on Wednesday that Kosovo began producing enough power for its population on Tuesday, thus stopping that deviation. However, she said it'll take some time for the continental European power system to get back into the normal frequency, and that approximately 6 minute lag remains in effect. So little things that sprang to mind, right? It's okay that you've got microwaves that are running a little slow and your hob is running a little slow. But what about other things that kind of rely on that? You know, like the central clocks of stuff like nuclear power stations, for example.
Yeah.
You know, that are running 6 minutes behind.
Yeah.
That's a little bit worrying, don't you think?
No, I think they have to have their own clocks. They have to have their own thing. But then there was a study done about nuclear power plants and then even where the nuclear missiles are kept, top secret locations and stuff in the US, and how backwards they are and what kind of old technology they're using. Apparently, they're still using technology from the 90s.
They had secret codes that were 0000, you know.
Yeah.
It's not even a joke.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, so we don't know if they are depending on stuff like that or clocks like this. But what I'm more surprised by is, I think, and a lot of people are also surprised by the same thing, is how come all these things are relying on the power grid?
Right.
You know?
Interesting, though,
but
right?
It can't be battery operated. You can't be, changing the batteries out of of something like this, like every year or so, right?
No, they're saying that quartz might work because it's cheap,
right?
And even it works better than
in your watches.
Yeah. So why are they depending on the the power grid, such a central power grid?
Right.
And also that I had no idea it actually relied on the power grid.
Like, neither did I until I read this story.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, that's why. You know, because my friends had actually been saying, they spoke to me about this story. Have you heard about this story about the clocks running slowly? And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? And then I read about it, and I'm like, I did not know that's how it worked.
Yeah.
So I've learned something new today.
Yeah.
Right. What have we got next? Oh, yes. Amazon promising a fix for that creepy Alexa laugh.
Yeah. So Amazon's Alexa has been letting out an unprompted creepy cackle, startling some of the users of this voice assistant. The laugh, described by some as witch-like, was reported to sometimes happen without the device even being woken up. So you know how Alexa works. You've got to say, like, hello, Alexa, or like your Google, like, okay, Google, to wake the system up, right?
Yeah.
But if it's just randomly letting out these creepy cackles
for no reason at all.
Like a kid, like a small boy.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And here's the thing, right? Some reported that the laugh occurs when they asked Alexa to perform a different task. So you say, hey, Alexa, play some music, and then she laughs.
What?
Yeah. How creepy is that?
You keep talking. I'm going to see if I can find an Alexa giggle or an Alexa laugh.
Okay. So Amazon says that they are aware of this and they're working to fix it. They add that in rare circumstances, Alexa can mistakenly hear the phrase Alexa laugh. So they are trying to change that phrase to say, to be Alexa, can you laugh? Which is less likely to have false positives. And they are also disabling the short utterance of Alexa laugh. So they are changing Alexa's response from simply laughing to her saying, sure, I can laugh, and then followed by her laugh.
Okay, that's creepy. I mean, I've got a few videos here, but I'm not sure which one I'm... Oh, hang on.
The newest one, I guess. But why would you program a laugh into Alexa?
Hang on.
Yep, that's the one.
Okay, that's creepy.
Imagine that, like, at 3 a.m.
Right, I would be going spare.
Yeah, because someone tweeted out that they were going to go to bed, and then, like, just before they slept, Alexa just started laughing. He didn't even say anything. He just started doing that, and then he said that, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get murdered tonight.
Sounds like a legit worry, right? So people are already worried about Alexa unintentionally eavesdropping or intentionally eavesdropping.
Of course,
Now that she can just be awake as and when she likes,
yeah.
So,
what does that say about your worries?
Okay, so they're introducing these two new phrases or whatever it is. So that little bit of a pause is supposed to prevent her from doing that? Is that what they're saying?
So what they're saying is that if you say Alexa laugh, she's going to say, sure, they're going to try and disable that comment, and instead she'll have to respond to something like, Alexa, can you laugh? And then she will first say, yes, I can laugh, and then she will laugh instead of just randomly laughing.
Right. Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know why you would even want Alexa to laugh in the first place.
Well,
like,
maybe you're feeling lonely. You tell a bad joke and you just need a bit of feedback. I know what that's like working in this industry.
It is sad and disturbing all at the same time.
You know, sometimes it's the only time I get a laugh is from a non-real device.
I know.
I'm just kidding. Anyway. See, I got a giggle then. Right, if you want to get in touch with this show, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Of course, on Twitter at BFM Radio as well. Do many people have Alexa here? I don't think it's officially here in Malaysia, is it?
No. I know there are like other home systems and stuff that they use, but Alexa, I don't think so. Not yet.
Our neighbours across the causeway have it already.
Of course they do. They have everything, right? They even have a space program, I believe.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, if you do have Alexa, though, I'm keen to hear if this has happened to you here in Malaysia. If you happen to have one, or you know somebody who's got one, let us know on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. Let's have some music, shall we? Curtis Mayfield is up next with Move On Up here on BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Breaking financial matters, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj
and Audrey Raj.
As usual, the terrible twosome on a Friday with you all the way until 1 o'clock. So far, we've had stories about how clocks in Europe have been running 6 minutes slow. It's not GMT anymore. It's Greek maybe time.
Maybe that's the clock that Karam is on.
You know what? I think you're probably right.
That's the clock every Malaysian is on. Like every single one of us.
Yeah, MMT, Malaysian maybe time. Story number two, of course. was about how Amazon promises they're going to fix that creepy laugh from Alexa. Now, this story is interesting, actually, because I think it comes down, it really touches a lot of us who've had issues with some of our smart devices, in fact. Yeah. So California are introducing this right to repair bill.
Yeah, they're actually the 18th state in this list. So they are joining this movement for the Right to Repair Act, which it actually requires electronics manufacturers to make repair information and parts available to product owners and to third-party repair shops and services. So
they're pointing the finger at two very large companies here, aren't they?
Yeah. So, for example, like let's say companies like Apple or Microsoft, they should make it possible for customers to repair their devices on their own instead of having to go into like an Apple store or like an Apple authorized repair shop. So the other 17 states have not had enough luck. The problem is that these tech giants have a lot of money and they have a lot of political influence.
And they have a lot of lawyers.
A lot of lawyers. And they are saying that customers should not be able to repair their own devices because it's not safe for them. It's not safe for the people around them as well.
They make it sound like the phones are going to explode if you, you know, poke.
But there's someone else's problem, which they've already fixed, which is not in the, which is not in this list.
Ooh, snap!
Sorry.
Oh god, yeah. It's a good job Jeff's not in here.
So they're saying that if you tweak with the hardware and stuff, then you're literally probably gonna break your phone or destroy it in the process.
Right.
Which they say so only someone who's authorized to look at these devices or knows how to repair your phone should be repairing your phone.
Isn't that good for them? Because then you go out and buy another phone.
No, I don't think so. Because I think it still boils back to them. It's their quality.
Can I just say that as a consumer of said companies like Apple devices, I have repaired my own e-phone and my own hackbook. You know, I've done it myself. You know? Simply because when I've gone, because obviously here in Malaysia, we do not have an official Apple presence, right? We have like resellers, I think. So when I've been to the resellers and asked about repair prices, it's been a ridiculous amount of money. And for those specialist companies, you know, the Apple repair product companies, whatever, I've been to them and the price has just been way out of there. And I'm like, well, if I can do it myself, you know, which I have, and it's not as hard as these guys make out that it actually is. If you have any kind of common sense and you can follow a set of instructions, anybody can do it.
It's a much cheaper option than actually sending it to the store, because sometimes if you have an older model phone, it can cost you about 20% or 30% off your phone to just make one quick repair or change out one part. 20 or 30%.
Yeah, and it's not like people are going to go to YouTube and then follow their own instructions and fix the phone, which some people know how to do.
Right.
But like here, I mean, here's a different kind of landscape because we've been so used to going to like third party shops.
Yeah.
We buy phones from there. We used to buy phones from there, but now even when we get like official Samsung, Apple, any phone we buy, we just go to like there's so many stores even in malls that operates like these digital corners that they have, and they just do the repairs for you. So it's not like you're going to someone who doesn't know how to repair a phone. You're not repairing your phone in like a fast food restaurant,
right?
You know, you're going to someone who knows phones.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would say safety. So it just looks like, you know, they want to make a quick buck from your from the damage of your phone.
And I think that those 17 states and now the 18th state have, that's their argument from them, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
You guys just trying to fleece people for money that they shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, and the customer should be able to have that, you know, set of instructions, and other people should be able to have your parts and stuff, even if they're not authorized by the company. The thing is, California is unique because they already have like a lot of laws in place that help the customer. So they have they've had this thing where if you buy an electronics device in California, you get service and customer support for up to 7 years, for at least 7 years, not up to, at least 7 years. So maybe California joining the list will be able to sort of help this movement along, because it was introduced in New York and then it just fizzled out because it went for months and months and months, and then it went nowhere, and then people just lost steam.
Which seems weird that most of these tech companies we're talking about were born and raised, if you like, in Silicon Valley, in California, you know, and that the one place where you think they wouldn't want you to have that option is in California.
Yeah, which is why it gives momentum to the right to repair.
The right to repair.
That they've sort of jumped into that that bandwagon to help out.
So I'm reading something here online. It says most major tech companies, including Apple and Microsoft, are opposed to the idea of letting users fix their own devices on the grounds that it poses a security risk to the users.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe like if you... fixing your own Android software, that is a risk because there's always like backdoor entrances and stuff. If you don't patch it up properly, if you're not a good programmer, then you leave your system vulnerable to like viruses and attacks and stuff. But hardware, I don't know. It either works or it doesn't work. If you're gonna break something, if you don't know how to fix your phone, like hardware wise, it's gonna break the moment you switch it on. It's not like you're gonna be able to switch it on and then still use it. Still being faulty, right?
Right.
I don't know what the security risk is. But it looks like they just want control over.
Unless they're talking about like this, the leakage of like iCloud data or storage data. You know, that's happened before, but I don't really see how that's much of an issue anymore.
But even that is firmware, no?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not hardware.
Right.
It's not hardware at all.
At all.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, discussion about that. If you want to get in touch, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Don't forget, if you are a Uber driver or a Grab driver, do get in touch. We'd like to talk to people who are currently doing it, finding out how much money they earn, what your hours are like, all that kind of stuff. Both the positive sides of things and the negative sides of things. If you have any of that information, get in touch. Meantime, let's have some music. It is Creedence Clearwater Revival with Traveling Band. I had trouble with that, you remember last week, trying to pronounce that band name?
Just go CCR.
Nailed it. I don't want to do CCR. And then, of course, we have Pat Benatar with Heartbreaker. Pat Benatar?
Yeah.
On a Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, clearly on BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
So, story now. Have you ever dreamed of flying in your car?
I think most of us just...
I think at some point,
Yes, especially if you live in KL and you've been caught in that parking lot traffic situation.
Call the Federal Highway.
The biggest parking lot in Southeast Asia.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't know about you guys, but when I was in school and we had to do our art projects for Wawasan 2020, it's one of the things that everyone had on their art pieces. You know,
flying cars.
Flying car. Everyone expected their flying cars by 2020.
So even back then, people were annoyed at the traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. So Dutch company PAL-V has unveiled its latest flying car gyrocopter at the Geneva Motor Show, taking us one step closer to the dream of flying cars becoming a reality. So this gyrocopter, which actually looks like a helicopter more than a car, has the words 007 was here on it, right? On the car itself, which I really didn't get until I realized that James Bond flew something similar in the film You Only Live Twice. Yes.
And Little Nelly was...
what it was called. Now, this car is called the Liberty. It's a compact three-wheeler, which the company says can offer spotty performance on the road, then take to the air using a set of extendable rotors. So in other words, it has helicopter-like blades that rotate freely in order to generate lift, while power is provided by two 100-horsepower engines via a separate propeller at the back. So it's very much like Little Nelly, but Liberty is bigger, it's more luxurious, and it can also be used on the road, which means it's no ordinary autogyro.
It's also not cheap, is it?
It's not. It's, I think the standard version will set you back about £270,000.
Good Lord.
Yeah, but the limited edition model will cost you about £450,000.
What's the difference between these two models? Do we know?
I think it's a matter of horsepower.
Of course.
Yeah, and just how luxe you'd like your...
Or Pegasus power.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
They've started. You know? Okay.
It's Friday. We'll let him have it. But they're not the only company doing this kind of thing, are they?
They are not. There are many other companies that have been trying to do this, and they've had like foldable wings and such. But I think why this one is gaining a lot of hype, why the Liberty is gaining a lot of hype, because, I think it's the planning. You know how if you had a helicopter, why it's just not, practical in this day and age is because you're going to need a helipad. You're going to need to land it somewhere. And then the closest helipad, and then you still have to travel to your desired location, right? Mm-hmm. With this gyrocopter, you can just fly all right, you fly, and then you can land in an open space and then actually drive the same vehicle and park it as you would a car.
But then again, just listen back to what you said. You land in an open space. We live in Malaysia. There are no open spaces.
Yeah, no.
So if we were coming to the studio, we'd actually have to, like, I don't know, land in Damansara Perdana and go use the LDP and, like,
so land in the Padang.
Exactly.
My question is, though, okay, so obviously at the price that these are coming in at, £270,000 or whatever, it's not for everybody. So there's going to be, you know, four or five people, maybe seven, I don't know.
But this company, Palvi, are actually hoping to sell about 1,000 of these gyrocopters in a year.
But to who? I mean, who's going to...
You're going to need a special license or something, surely, to fly and drive this thing.
I don't want people just like flying in the air.
Willy-nilly, right?
Especially if you live in a condo or something, the whole point.
I think there's a minimum requirement of needing a pilot's license in order to drive or fly this, of course.
Right.
Also, side note, this vehicle reminds me of those little car or helicopter rides that you used to have in the malls back in the day where you put in like 50 cents and you get to like move around in it. Or like what my parents did was they just put me in there and then just shook it. Made me believe like it was moving.
I mean, that's one. But then the other side is, I'm thinking this thing needs a bit of like a runway to take off,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so
yes,
that's
yes.
the thing. So where is someone who wants to, let's say you're stuck in traffic, you're not going to be able to find enough space to lift off because you need that. Yeah, so you need like the momentum and then you take off. So you're only going to be able to do this when you have a runway. So what's the point?
Subang Sky Park or KLIA and then drive.
to wherever you want and land on the building and stuff. I like, I think a few people, like once they did that, there was like a breakthrough with finding out how to measure gravity or how to use gravity as a source of energy or something a couple of years ago. So The Verge and a bunch of other like online magazines had this where they said the only way to get proper flying cars is to harness gravity as energy. I don't know how that even works. I'm not even going to pretend to understand what it even means, but using gravity to sort of lift anything off and then take it to where it wants to be and then land again. They say that is the only way, one, we'll travel further into space, and two, that's the only way we'll get actual flying cars, like the one you see in Back to the Future and stuff, like an actual DeLorean. Right. Otherwise, you're going to need like a lot of like space and room to actually take off in like a helicopter and stuff.
Thank you, Professor Yuvaraj.
And also, what about the noise?
Right.
I'm sure
I mean, Jeff's complaining
noisy.
About drones already. I mean, if these things are coming around, he's going to be having nightmares.
Yeah. I mean, they probably sound like a helicopter.
Yeah.
No? Do you want like a mini helicopter like everywhere you go? No.
I'd rather that noise than the cackling Alexa, though.
That's true.
I don't Very want true. People who, you know... there are bad drivers here in Malaysia. There are bad drivers everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to have that opportunity to be bad flyers and bad drivers.
That's what scares
me more than anything.
Yeah.
And there are going to be people who are flying around and, you know, they forget to check their petrol meter and, you know, they're 400 meters up in the air, you know, and you see that blinking, flashing light. It's not like you can just pull over to the side of the road, is it?
Yeah, no. But I wouldn't want to see, like, a sky chase, though. Ah, like, that'll be fun.
It would.
What would you guys want to have in a flying car? Like, your ideal flying car? Don't think about, like, oh, logic and it has air propellers and stuff.
Because what would I like in a
car. What kind of what kind of model? How would you you know?
It's gonna have to have a really nice kind of heads up display. You know, something a little bit fancy, a little bit know, kind of blue LEDs. Obviously, you know, maybe a kind of fighter pilot kind of theme to it. I don't know, something like that.
So, would it have a steering wheel or like a
joystick?
A joystick.
It has to have a joystick.
What's the point of like driving in the clouds and stuff? But I think mine would be the one in Blade Runner. The I forgot what it's called, but they look like the cycles in Tron.
They do.
Yeah.
I can only think of the one in Harry Potter, and that one had a steering wheel. So I'm
The one, is it?
I thought you were going to say the broom.
Okay, time for a break. We're going to take a short break. We've got some music coming up from Judas Priest with Breaking the Law. And then when we get back, we will give you some podcast recommendations for stuff that we think maybe you should listen to over the weekend. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Build financial mountains. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. It's almost time for us to wrap up, and we've got some podcast recommendations for you coming up. But before we do, we had a bit of a chat about flying cars and one thing or another, and we got a little bit excited about that. Mm. We've had a couple of tweets. What do we have?
Yeah, so at B-Rays, so B-Ray, he or she asks, if the flying car, is it something like from the Jetsons?
Not quite.
Not exactly, but the gravity thing, that would be from the Jetsons.
Oh, would it?
Yeah, because no propellers, just lift off. Yeah, and then they also say, he or she also says that the Batmobile, the crawler, imagine crawling your way out of traffic, wouldn't that be cool?
It would.
Yeah, yes. It'd be super cool.
Super cool.
Also right. Sounds very expensive.
It does sound very expensive. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, then let's get on with some podcast recommendations. What do we have?
So there was the International Women's Day special that aired yesterday at 11 a.m. It was called A Star in the Tech Scene. So like we were just talking about flying cars, right? Technology is transforming everything we do, the way we interact with each other, the way we understand our world. Today, software systems are constantly evolving and becoming even more sophisticated. So founded in 2008, IT company A-Star aims to help customers build and upgrade on their creative ecosystems and application knowledge. A-Star today is a leading ICT company and a preferred IT supplies and services provider in the education and enterprise sectors within Malaysia. So on the show, Frida spoke to the star in the tech scene today, the CEO and founder of A-Star herself, Natalie Sitt. She spoke about her journey and her successes with A-Star.
Yeah, then there's also another Her Vantage episode. This one was with Talita Tan. She's the YouTube star. You can say that she's a social media influencer.
Singer-songwriter.
Ooh, yeah. So from uploading YouTube videos to performing at some of the most prominent local and international music gigs, Talita has already established quite a name for herself in the local music industry. You've probably heard about her on, like I said, social media, on the radio, or even on TV. And this is the story of the singer, songwriter, and social media influencer Talita Tan.
Lovely stuff. Right, that's all the time we have for, but we'll quickly run through what we covered on the show. And if you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download the app from the Apple App Store or from Google Play and listen back at your pleasure. We started off with how clocks in Europe are running 6 minutes slow because of a dispute over electricity generation.
Just 1 minute slower than Malaysian time. And story number two, Amazon is promising to fix that creepy Alexa cackle.
It's so scary.
That users have been complaining about.
Yeah. We also spoke about how California has joined the bandwagon to introduce the right to repair bill.
And then story number four, Dutch company Palvi has unveiled its latest flying car gyrocopter that looks a lot like Little Nelly from the Bond films, but this one is called the Liberty.
That none of us will be able to afford, sadly. Not anytime soon, anyway. But don't, go on, Arvin.
B just sent in another tweet saying that she is a she.
It is she. Hello.
It is a she.
Hello there.
Hey,
thank you for tweeting in. Please do keep tweeting in. Next week, of course, when we come back, we'll be back on Monday, same time, same place at noon. Noon?
Noon.
Noon.
It's the new
it's
noon.
It's a new noon. But don't go anywhere because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. So what can women bring to the table when it comes to promoting tolerance, mutual respect and understanding in a multicultural society? The Breakfast Grill spoke with Sister Lo Pai Ling, the president of the Buddhist Missionary Society of Malaysia, and Indira Haridas, the ex-co member with the Initiatives of Change Malaysia, to get their perspectives. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Meanwhile, we have some music from Metric. It is Dead Disco, followed by a little bit of the Temptations here on BFM 89.9. Have a lovely weekend, everybody. My name is Rich Bradbury on behalf of Audrey Raj and Arvin Yuvaraj. It has been Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.